105, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Abraham, His servant, children of Jacob, His chosen ones. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you also to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals, to page 60 in the back section. Page 60, this is Lord's Day 47 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And this morning I will read the question and you may respond with the answer from question 122. From page 60 in the back of the Psalter, what does the first request mean? Well, last week we looked at the introduction to the Lord's Prayer. We'll be taking the next several weeks to look at the prayer together. We saw that the prayer is an address to the Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, but that this glorious, majestic God is our Father. He has chosen to have a relationship with us, and so we may confidently approach Him in prayer. We noticed also that the prayer has two big sets of petitions. There are the petitions with regard to God, prayer for the hallowing of His name, for the coming of His kingdom, prayers on God's behalf, and prayers on our behalf for our daily bread and for the forgiveness of our sins. These two different sets of petitions. This morning we look at that first petition in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. I think we have to notice first of all that this is a prayer and it is a petition. We are asking God for something. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, we are not making a statement about God. Our Father who art in heaven, your name is hallowed. We're not saying a statement about God. It is a petition to God. It is asking for something. That God's name be hallowed. Now, children, I imagine that outside of the Lord's Prayer, you probably never use the word hallowed. I don't think I do. There's not many times when casual conversation, the word hallowed comes up. What does it mean when we say, hallowed be your name? Well, the word hallowed is something like the word holy. Maybe that helps a little bit. We talk about the Holy Supper of our Lord. We talk about the Lord's Day as a holy day. So maybe that helps a little bit, but maybe not enough yet. Something that is hallowed, something that is holy, is something that is set apart as very, very special. When we say, hallowed be thy name, we are saying, may God's name be set apart as something very, very special. Maybe kids in your house, you have toys that you play with. And you love to share your toys with your brothers and sisters. You say, oh, brothers and sisters, I'm so happy to share all my toys with you. And then your birthday comes. And there's a special toy that you've been wanting and wanting and wanting. And on your birthday, you get that special toy. And you say to your brothers and sisters, you can still play with all my other toys if you want. I'm so happy to share with you. But this one is so special to me. I want to play with this one myself for a little bit. That's what it means to hallow, to set apart, to treat as something particular, something special, something that we just enjoy so much. This is the meaning of that word hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. Now we've had an allusion to something that's holy. Again, already in this morning, we read the Ten Commandments. And in the fourth commandment, we read about God's day as set apart, as holy. So there's something of a picture there for us too. That today is a special day, not like every other day. Today is a day that is set apart. And I hope that all of us don't treat Sunday as just one more regular day. But it is a day set apart, something special, something to be enjoyed, something we look forward to. A day that we do special things. We gather for worship on the Lord's Day. To set it apart as holy, to hallow the day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Set it apart as holy. So to hallow is to have a special reverence for, a special particular joy in. How do we hallow God's name? The psalmist says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name. You see, the name of God is more than just a way that we make reference to Him. If you want to get my attention, you know, and I'm walking down the hall, you say, Reverend Niemeyer. That's just a way to get my attention. But God's name is more than just a referent for Him. God's name reveals something of Himself. And the only way we know God is through the revelation that He gives. Were it not for the fact that God chose to reveal Himself to us in a variety of ways, we would not know Him. But God's name is more than just a way of referring to Him. It is His meaningful self-revelation. We think back to Exodus chapter 34, when God would reveal something of Himself to Moses. In Exodus 34, verse 5, we read, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love to thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty.'" God declared His name. What was that name? The Lord, merciful and gracious, abounding in love, but also righteous and just. God's name is His meaningful self-revelation. To set apart God's name as holy means to recognize who God is as the one who is righteous, who is just, who is merciful, who is compassionate. This is more than just a reference to God. It is an understanding of who that great God is. We only know God to the extent that He has revealed Himself to us. And God has revealed Himself to us and revealed His name to us in different ways. We read this morning from Romans chapter 1 that God revealed something of Himself in the creation around us. Romans 1 says God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen from what has been made. Creation is a revelation of the glory of God, a revelation of who He is. And by looking at creation with the eyes of faith, we see the glory of God around us. Now we must be careful not to identify creation with God, not to deify the creation, That was exactly the problem that Paul was addressing. They worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. No, we don't worship creation, but we recognize something of the glory of God in the sunrise, in the stars, in the things we see around us, a revelation of the glory of His holy name. We recognize something of the glory of God in the works He has done in history. Verse 3 says, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. We see God working through history, through the history of Israel. They would remember the wondrous works He had done, His miracles and His judgments. What was the most significant event? What was the most glorious work God did for His people Israel? He took them out of captivity. They were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. And God would come and through His chosen servant Moses deliver His people out of that captivity. When they talked about the wondrous works of God, the judgments He brought, they thought about the plagues upon Pharaoh and his people and God's deliverance, taking them out of captivity, bringing them into the promised land. And that glorious work in history was a revelation. A revelation of not only what God would do for them, but it pointed forward to a greater revelation. God revealing Himself in the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. The one who would come and perform signs and wonders in their midst. And the one who would bring them the ultimate deliverance, not the deliverance from the captivity or the oppression of Rome, but the deliverance from their very sins. Delivering them from the curse and the grip of hell. And bringing them into the promised land. The glories of knowing God and the assurance of life forever with Him. That was the revelation that God gave. That's why the psalmist says, seek the Lord, seek His strength, seek His presence continually. Because only in Him can that security, can that release from captivity be found. That's why we still seek this God today. As God moves in our hearts, He draws us together. And He, through the power of His Spirit, draws us to Him that we might seek Him, knowing He first sought us. This morning, if you're here and you're looking for something, if you're looking for some security, if you're looking for some way to get through life, then you have come to the place where God reveals Himself. In His Word, in the glories of Jesus Christ, in the preaching of that Word. You can stop looking at creation around you for the answers, but rather look to Jesus Christ, the one who brings captivity, which brings us out of captivity to sin, the one who brings us into the glories of eternal life. God reveals Himself. His name is His revelation. It speaks of His glory. It speaks of His majesty. Creation speaks of that. Jesus Christ speaks of that, the work of redemption. And the Word is a faithful record of that. God's Word is His revelation of who He is. His revelation of what He has done in creation. His revelation of what He has done in history. His revelation of what He has done in Jesus Christ. It is that glorious revelation of the name of God, of who God is, that we praise and thank Him for today. When we pray, hallowed, set apart, holy be Your name, our confession helps us as to what that really implies for us. The meaning is, may it be holy, and may Your name, may Your revelation receive its proper glory. But how does that impact us? What are the implications of this first petition when we pray, hallowed be Your name? Hallowed be your name means help us to really know you. If God's name is his meaningful self-revelation, then when we pray, hallowed, set apart, holy be thy name, help us then to really know who you are. Help us to really embrace the glories of who you are. You know, we never pray in a vacuum. We always pray in a context. If we were in the context of a place where God's word was not readily available, then this prayer might mean, Lord, help us to have access to your holy word. But we pray in a context where God's word, where the scriptures are readily available. So what does it mean for us when we say, help us to really know you? It means for us, help us in our study of your word, that revelation of who you are. And if we are going to pray this prayer, take this prayer on our lips, then we have to recognize God has provided the means by which this prayer will be answered. To know him more, to really know him, is to study his word. How much time do we take in a day, in a week, in a month, spending time getting to know God more deeply through the study of his word? If we are going to honestly pray, hallowed be thy name, help us to really know you, then we have to see that God has provided the means by which that prayer will be answered. And spend time in his word. Spend time studying his word. It doesn't make any sense to pray, God, help us to really know you, and then ignore the revelation of who he is. To pray the prayer is to commit ourselves to ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten our eyes that we might see more clearly the glories of God in his word. In our men's Bible study, we are trying to dig more deeply into the Word of God through the memory of Scripture. I know, kids, maybe you memorize Scripture verses for school. And somehow, it seems to me as we grow up, we think that memorizing Scripture is for children. But it seems to me that if as children we're memorizing verses in the Bible, then as we grow, or perhaps as high schoolers, we should be memorizing chapters in the Bible. And as adults, we should be memorizing large portions of God's Word. That's how we grow in our faith, not going backwards. In every other discipline, we expect more as we get older. But so often, it seems when it comes to Bible memory, we expect less. But God gives us his word as a way of drawing near to him, as a way of knowing him more deeply and more intimately. Are we serious when we pray the prayer, hallowed be thy name, help us to really know you. Help us to bless and worship and praise you. We do that in one way, to bless and worship and praise God, when we gather together as his people, when we gather together for worship. It is here that the Word of God is open for us, explained for us, and we begin to know him more deeply, to bless and to worship and to praise him from our heart. Are we serious about coming to worship? Are we serious about this desire to bless and worship and praise God? Do we prepare as we come to worship? Do we pray that we might have clear heads and be ready to hear the revelation of God given to us? Do we pray that he might cleanse our hearts so we can praise and bless him without that sin still dragging us down? Are we serious about the prayer? Hallowed be thy name. Do we help our children to live into that prayer? Because children, I'm sure that your parents have taught you the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. But parents, have we helped our children to live into the implications of that prayer as they come to worship? Do we help them, and are they prepared for what will take place here? You know, children, I don't know if you've noticed it, but usually at the end of the service, the very last song we sing is the same song for about 4 or 5 months in a row. You know why we do that? It's so you can learn it. So you can enter into the praise of God's people with all of us. Parents, it's our obligation to help our children to learn those songs. Almost every Sunday evening, we recite the Apostles' Creed together as a body, as a community. Are we helping our children to be engaged in worship at that point? Are we helping them to learn how to follow along the Scriptures? Are we lining it out for them so they get used to opening the Bible? And this is how we read the Word of God. To help them to properly bless and worship and praise God. To help them to honestly pray the prayer, Hallowed be thy name. We praise, we bless, we worship God when we gather together as His people. We praise and bless and worship Him in our witness to the world. The psalmist says, make known His deeds among the peoples. Oh, it's wonderful for us to draw deeper into relationship to God, to know Him more and more. But we know Him more so we can share Him more with the peoples, with the nations. We honor Him. We pray this prayer honestly. When we share the truth that we know with others. Our knowledge of God is not a self-serving thing. It is for the service of others. To make known His deeds among the peoples. To make known to others what He has done for us. Rescuing us from death and hell. And bringing us to new life. Do we honestly pray, Hallowed be thy name. Help us to really know You. To bless and worship and praise You. And help us to direct all our living, what we think and say and do. So Your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Do we direct our living according to the revelation God has given to us? This first petition has implications for how we live in our families. In all our living, to direct all we think and say and do, so Your name is never blasphemed because of us. Our neighbors know that we are Christians. They know we go to church, and yet we live a life that is contrary to that, antithetical to that. And by doing so, God's name is blasphemed. We cannot pray, Hallowed be thy name, and then live like the devil. Because God's name and the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, has been given to us. We are called Christians. Help us to direct all our living. That Your name is never blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. That's what it means to pray this prayer. How we live with our spouses. With our children, at our work, in our education, in the recreational time we have. All of it being directed to bring glory and honor and praise to the name of our God. The Lord's Prayer is, as I've mentioned before, a prayer for believers. How can we begin to live this type of life? How can we begin to dig deeper into God's Word, to bless and worship and praise Him, to direct all of our living? Left to ourselves, we would wander off. But God, who is rich in mercy, who has revealed Himself to us, has promised to give us His Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct us in the paths of righteousness. And as we pray this prayer, we pray that God might more fully work in us, that we might properly bless, worship, and praise Him, that our activities today and our activities tomorrow might bring praise to Him, not only on Sunday, but throughout the week. Hallowed be Thy name. Are we serious? Are we serious as we take that first petition on our lips? Let's pray together. Lord God, You are great and You are glorious. We will give thanks to You, O God. We will call upon Your holy name. Help us, O Lord, truly to glory in that name, and that the hearts of those who seek You may rejoice in what You have done. Lord God, if we have been lax in praying this prayer, if we have simply done it out of repetition and rote, we pray that You would forgive us, and that You would help us to commit once again today by the power of Your Spirit to pray this prayer honestly, to really know You, to bless and worship and praise You for all Your works and for all that shines forth from them. Lord God, help us to direct all of our living, what we think, what we say, what we do, that we might never dishonor Your name, but rather hallow it, set it apart as holy. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.